This is the Hog Kong Football Podcast.
Kowloon, Kowloon, Hong Kong. We like Hong Kong. That's a place for you.
We're back again with the Hong Kong Football Podcast, coming to you from Kowloon, Hong Kong, in a week in which Type OC Cup retention, getting back in the game and then some, courtesy of Lazari's invention. After injury to his Brazilian palate, left in the end to Alex, scoring a goal of remarkable balance. So despite the efforts of Lam Hin Ting, those semis set up a final fling. Hong Kong champs v Sapling Kings. That's right, there's cup final news to discuss. Big win for Taipo there, as well as end of season awards chat, next Hong Kong national team coach chat, and a look at this weekend's round of fixtures as we get to the business end of the Hong Kong Premier League season. Although, admittedly, not much business still to settle. We are still Hong Kong's premier weekly English language local football podcast. My name is still James Legg, and I am joined still, I'm pleased to say, by Tobias Tusser. Toby, how's it going?
Great. How are you?
Particularly great. Thank you. This early morning here in the Yao Chin Mong district. Let's start with the extremely happy scenes at the Mong Kok Stadium among players and staff of Taipo after their last minute Sapling Cup semi-final win with only 10 men. You enjoyed this game?
Yeah, very much so. Very agricultural and very entertaining.
Out of 10?
An 8, I think, which is not bad.
Not bad at all. So this was against Pegasus, Taipo's biggest rivals of the season, with whom they are still battling for second place in the league. And they had to do it from behind. This was a match shaped more by costly errors than by moments of quality from either side. Is that fair, Toby?
Yeah, that's a pretty good summary of what happened.
It looked like Taipo had the better of the first half.
Actually, it was quite even, I think.
Yeah, fair enough. The first of those aforementioned costly errors was some egregious defending by Taipo centre-back Eduardo Preyas. Eduardo playing against his former club, of course. He was attempting to usher a Pegasus long ball out of play, but he had Mohammed Awal on his tail. It looked like he should have been able to protect the ball from the pacey Cameroonian, but he decided to put his head on it instead and try clearing the ball. He made a mess of that, his mishit clearance going straight to Pegasus top scorer Travis Major. Major's shot hit the bar, rebounding to the young Jordan Lam, who did well to round Chak Ting Fung and finish past Tang Man Fai from 7 yards. Bad defending from Eduardo Preyas.
Yeah, that's true. And not the first time that it happened.
Yeah, they do have a tendency to let themselves down with lapses in concentration at the back, I think. But in fairness, Lam took his goal very nicely. First goal of the season for the 19-year-old, who generally only starts cup matches. Not his first goal for the club, though. You'll remember he got a brace in a 5-0 win over HKFC last season. I didn't see the game, and I assumed when I saw that Sean Sayre had gone off on the half-hour mark for Diego Martins that it was an injury to the Taipo midfielder. That wasn't the case.
No, basically, Coach Lee Chee-Kin just went all in, right? He knew that he has to win the game in order to go to the final, and so just bring in another offensive player at that point.
That makes sense. So early in the second half, it was Pegasus' turn to do some clumsy defending, Leung Long Hang misjudging a Wong Wai ball into the box. This should have been very easy for Leung, all alone near his own penalty spot. But yeah, he misjudges the flight of the ball, misses the header, the ball hits him on the arm, referee gives a penalty.
Speaking of clumsy defending, right?
Yeah, Igor Sartori sent the penalty kick past Leung Hin Kit for 1-1 and his 15th goal of the season. Once Taipo restored parity, how did the game go?
Taipo looked pretty good in the second half, but then 10 minutes after this goal, Chak Ting Fung was sent off with a straight red card after a kung fu martial arts performance to which Travis Major fell victim to.
Yeah, he left quite a mark on the Pegasus striker. He had some serious head gash after that.
Right, so a deserved red card, and I believe it might be the end of the season for Chuck. He will certainly have several matches to miss for that one. But interestingly, I think even after Taipo were down to 10 men, they looked well organized. And despite going more into defense and trying maybe to see out the 1-1 over the 90 minutes. They stayed extremely dangerous over counterattacks, particularly with Igor Satori and Diego Martins. And this was also eventually that I think gave him the upper hand.
Yeah, and despite being down to 10 men, Taipo got the winner in the 93rd minute through a David Lazzari free kick. Pegasus lined up a 5-man wall covering the near post, but either Lazzari is some kind of genius or the wall wasn't lined up properly because the Brazilian curled the ball in at the near post, Leung-Hin Kit helpless, 2-1, and Taipo with the first team through to the Sapling Cup final. Cue absolute scenes in the stands and among the team's playing staff. They looked very happy. That was the first of two end-of-season meetings between Taipo and the Flying Horses. It could be three if they both win their respective FA Cup semi-finals. And we agreed last week that this was probably the least important of those matches, but still a big win for the men in green.
Yeah, still a big win, and particularly for the Kin Army, which means it was the third time in a row for them to be now in a Sapling Cup final. In every Sapling Cup final in history, the Kin Army is there.
Yes, this is Coach Lee Chi Kin and then the retinue of players who he's kind of had around him for a few seasons now, the likes of Tan Chun Lok,
Wong Wai, Lee Ka Yu.
And yeah, of course, they won it with Pegasus a couple of seasons ago and last season with Taipo. The reward for this most recent win is a Sapling Cup final against Kitchi on the 19th of May at the Hong Kong Stadium. That's because Kitchi beat Dreams 3-1 also at the Mongkok Stadium on Sunday. Two goals from Alex Akande in this one from the bench. Kitchi started their Saplings, Sebastian Buddle and Barak Brownstein. Dreams unchanged for the purposes of bringing in their requisite youth because their goalie Tega Wing is 18 and fullback Lam Hin Ting is only a year older. Anyway, Christian Vadoch opened the scoring for Kitchi only 15 minutes in, blasting in the loose ball after Dreams failed to deal with a corner. But Dreams went out of it, the young Lam Hin Ting putting himself about. Kitchi lost their top striker Lucas Silva to injury on the half hour mark. He was replaced by Alex Akande. It looks like Lucas's season is over now, according to a message he posted on his Instagram. And do you know when he posted this message and he said it's been a good season and he said how many goals he scored? And do you know who the first response on Instagram was from?
Jared Lam.
He is a good responder on Instagram, but it wasn't. It was from Lucas's former team, Taipo, saying get well soon, which is very nice.
Yeah.
It's just a happy little place, Hong Kong football. Lam equalised for Dreams in the second half off a Loy Man take cross before a bit of magic from Akande. The Hong Kong striker was played through by a combination of Vadoch and Instagram's Jared Lum before back heel lobbing a defender and poking the ball nicely past Zaire. After that, Kitchi centre-back Kim Dongjin was sent off for a second yellow, but Dreams made it a little too easy for 10-man Kitchi to wrap up their win. Golisaire getting caught in possession by Alex Akande after an unhelpful back pass from Yoon Dong-hun. Alex made it 3. One final thing to note about this match is that Aoyoung Yeo-chung, former Hong Kong international trying to make his return to local football with Dreams, came on as a half-time substitute. That's only his second appearance from the bench since going off injured on his debut on the 11th of March. Fingers crossed for his fitness. So a tasty looking Sapling Cup final we have here for a tournament intended to help develop Hong Kong youngsters, a team known for thriving on homegrown talent versus a team known for almost entirely eschewing homegrown talent. Is that going to be an advantage to Taipo in this final?
I certainly hope so. I'm not sure if it actually will play out for an advantage, but I think that they will have a fair chance in that game because Kitchi have to start with two youngsters as well. And the Taipo players certainly have more experience in that regard. So I'm hopeful that we will see a good game. And I think it will be very competitive, maybe more competitive than the latest Taipo Kitchi game in the league, which was very one-sided eventually.
Yeah, and it's going to be a big day for the Kitchi's, you know, the youngsters who do play for Kitchi, like Buddle, Brownstein. You know, these are the only games that they get. They're still young players, and what an occasion. They're almost, you know, they're guaranteed a start in a final. So good luck to them, and hope it goes well.
Oh, James becoming a Sapling Cup fan eventually.
It's the magic of the Sapling Cup, Toby. Don't you know about this? Uh-huh. Anyway, there was one league match this weekend. RNF beating Rangers, upsetting both of our predictions from last week. that result means Rangers will definitely finish bottom of the league. Though, in my defence, I did predict that Thiago Delianco would score for RNF, that he did, opening the scoring just before the break. That's 8 goals in 11 appearances for the Brazilian since he joined RNF in January. Great return for him. I wonder if other Hong Kong clubs might be interested in him next season, or if they could even afford him. I assume RNF pay quite nicely.
We'll see.
But there's a chance of, you know, actually playing in maybe Asian competition, or maybe just doing better in the league with another club. We don't know. RNF still haven't really hit any kind of stride in their 2 seasons of Hong Kong-based football. But great return for him, and well done. Lee Roy scored after that, cementing his place as the top-scoring ethnically Chinese player in the Premier League.
It's a thing, yeah.
It's a thing.
It's really a thing. Yeah.
6th of the season for him. Marco Krasic made it 2-1 with a penalty for Rangers. But Giovanni Da Silva, of course, a former HKPL Golden Boot winner and player of the season, scored to make it 3-1 in added time. RNF stay 7th.
Right, and still have a chance, although, to finish 5th, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they could still catch up on Yuen Long and Southern in the 2 remaining games. I wouldn't back it, personally. You know when people say that a team is mercurial? I want to say mercurial, but I mean it in a kind of bad way.
Right.
You know, they don't always turn up, and I can't imagine them doing so in the final 2 games of the season.
Which will be against Taipo and Liman. Liman might have a chance, but Taipo will be very tough.
I imagine that's unlikely too. We'll get to that later in this show.
The Hong Kong Football Podcast comes out every Wednesday. You can make sure you never miss our latest show by subscribing on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, or wherever else you get your podcasts.
Voting has opened in the Team of the Year for this Hong Kong Premier League season.
Ooh.
I know, a time of year again. By which all of this, I mean, it's the fans vote, where you can, there's a section of the awards in which it goes to the fans or spectators. And it's all a bit of a weird popularity contest, isn't it? Because kitschy players will get the most slots because, well, they've got the most fans, and they've certainly got the most fans organized on Facebook and Instagram and so on, and can kind of launch these little voting campaigns. But there was one notable set of absentees from the nominations.
Yes, and this made quite big headlines around local football news. And this is that Eastern decided, and I believe when I mention Eastern here, it's chairman Peter Leung, only to nominate one player instead of a best 11. So the only nominated Wong Zeho, the left back Wong Zeho.
So they're supposed to nominate basically a starting 11, and then all of those players are up for votes to get into the team.
The starting 11, the youth players, and the coach. Everyone nominated their own coach, except Eastern. Yeah, it must also be a strange situation for Wong, no? Like, being the team's darling and everyone else is disregarded, because they're still finishing 4th this season, pretty much likely to do so. It hasn't been, like, extremely embarrassing, right? I mean, it still managed to get around it.
I think the problem, partly, is to look at this season, is that the embarrassing moments have come at bad times. Like the Kitchy game when they lost 8-1, the game against the Vietnamese team in the AFC Champions League qualifying. It was a high profile moment that you are going to remember. Like, if they played that badly away at RNF, no one would have heard about it. But the fact that they did these terrible performances at the Mong Kok Stadium in some of the biggest games of the season might be what's caused the anger from up top. But yeah, strange move. I also don't think Wong Ji-ho's been that good whenever I've seen him this season. So
yeah, he played a lot, that's for sure. But I even think, like, players such as James McKee, Tu Ying Chu, and even Bleder, who was injured a lot but had an amazing goal-minute ratio. You could easily put them in the best of 11, and they might have a shot to get a good result as well. Doesn't mean they have to win it, but I think that they would still get decent votes out of that.
What about Joe Tycoon?
Well, I think it's unlikely they would have nominated him.
Okay, so I mean, I'm looking at the list, and you do get these weird anomalies, right? I think the biggest anomaly is in the young player of the season category, where you've got these players who are definitely in the running for that award, like Wu Chun-ming, Tan Chun-lok, and
Lamending, of course, as well.
Yeah, of course. And then you've got Kitchy's nominations, one of whom is Cheng Tin Lung, who mostly played for Dreams this season. Barely played in the Premier League for Kitchy. And then Barak Braunstein, who has only ever played in the Sapling Cup. And he's a young player. He hasn't actually done that much at that level. You know, fair play to him. He's just coming into the squad. And yet these guys have actually got the top two in these votes. Braunstein is third after Cheng and Tan Chun Lok. But it kind of puts across the absurdity of these votes.
Right.
Look, if 2016 taught us anything, it's that asking the general public their opinion is a bad idea, right? And yet, that lesson learned in the UK, learned in Austria, I believe, in your home country, learned certainly in America, has not made it all the way to Hong Kong yet.
Is it true, though? Because this will not count as the final result, right? It's just broken down to a percentage of the eventual result. You have then the media vote that counts into...
Do we get a vote in the media vote? Does the Hong Kong Football Podcast get a say?
That's a very, very vulnerable subject that I don't want to discuss on the podcast.
Because you have a vote. Toby gets a vote through offside.hk, his very respectable website.
It's a collective vote among all our editors, right? Okay. It's not just me.
I imagine Toby, the tyrant of offside.hk. No, we're voting for Cheng Tin Lung, okay? No, you'll just choose every typo player, won't you?
Exactly. That's what I'm doing.
Okay, so maybe we can discuss our players of the season, Toby.
Yeah.
Given that we're not going to get a Hong Kong Football Podcast vote, who comes to mind? A
couple of people.
Throw some nominations out there.
Well, arguably most of them come from the top three in the league so far. I think Pegasus, Taipu, and of course Kitchy are the dominating ones when it comes to this. Christian Vardoc is, I think, a top candidate.
Yeah, he's been brilliant.
And going to Pegasus, I think Hua Weimia emphasized how important he is for any team, and sometimes it just comes down to him if Pegasus are competitive or not. And in Taipo, Igor Satori had, I think, a great season. But these are just like the most outstanding ones. Who else you noticed that should get a mention?
Well, I think fair play to Joao Mia's Pegasus teammate, Travis Major. I think the improvement on, you know, he had only half a season last season, and the improvement on how effectual he's been in that time, and along with Yung Ching Kwong coming in, you know, it's been such a big change for Pegasus. It's elevated them from eighth last season to second. Could still drop down to third, but, you know, in the running, in the top three this season, he's had a massive impact. I think he's always good, but Wong Wai has been great again this season. I mean, you watch a little bit more Taipo than I do, so maybe I'm just seeing his kind of best bits. But for me, he's still what makes the team tick. Of course, we've always been fans of Tan Chun Lok, but I think it's been a slightly less impactful season from him this year. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I think maybe both of them haven't been as outstanding as the previous season, but maybe it's just because we're getting used to them. I think what makes them still so brilliant in that regard is, like, if you see what positions they're playing and where you usually only have foreigners in other teams, really, like in the central midfield. Actually, Tan is moving more and more into the attacking central midfield than what he used to in the past. And there they, I think, still make a great impact. And as you said, like Wong Wai, having the playmaker role in a team is very rare nowadays. I think the last time we really had such a player of that quality was Lam Kawai, who took up this role also in the national team for a time. But other than Wong Wai, you don't really have this position filled out in Hong Kong.
So should we call those the nominations? You got Vardoc, Major, Joao Weimia, Wong Wai, Igor Sartori. I'm aware that we're leaning a little bit away from Kitchy here. Of course, there have been brilliant performances as usual from the likes of Fernando, Huang Yang. And I also think, controversial shout perhaps, I think Wang Jinpeng's had a great season as well.
Yeah, he is often overlooked, right?
I think there's no question he's been Hong Kong's best goalie this season.
Probably not.
And especially in the AFC Champions League, I think he's kept the scoreline down a few times. I think he's been excellent as well. But I do think it's incumbent on us as serious observers of the Hong Kong Premier League to not just venerate these players who are already getting enough credit as it is, but in particular Vardoc has just been something else.
Speaking of popularity contests, right? Do you think we should do a small Twitter polling about what our listeners are thinking about who was the best player?
Yeah, that's a good idea. Maybe that's something we can work on over the next day or two. Keep an eye out. Listeners, what about young player?
Several people come to mind. I think the ones we've already mentioned, right? Wu Chunming for Pegasus had a great season. The regulars at Taipo, Tan Chun Lok in particular, Wong Wai's already older already. He appears already very young. Anyone else?
I think there's actually two of Pegasus. I mean, not just Wu, but Leung Lok Hang. Not a solid enough season from him. I think partly affected by injury and a few squad changes at his club. And he also had that unfortunate incident at the weekend. But I do think he's been good, and I think it's worth a mention. But let's not forget Dreams. Of course, they had Lam Hin Ting at fullback all season. I think he was ever present at 18 years of age. Degar Wing is their number one goalie at 18 as well. Sorry, Lam is 19. Cheng Chin Lung, who was there to begin with, moved back to Kichi when he was recalled on his loan and scored historic goal for that side in the AFC Champions League.
So Dreams themselves will deserve an award for nurturing young players, right?
Yeah, certainly. Although, you know, Rangers will be in with a shout, you know, when you consider what they've done for the careers of Choi Wan Kit and Chuk Yeo Kwok this season. They've both left, of course, since January-ish. I don't personally think any of the players you've just mentioned have had the impact that Tan Chun Lok had last season when we awarded him the official award in our season review magazine. I also don't think we can give it to Tan again. I think he's kind of graduated now from that. It's not like, oh, isn't he good for a young player? It's like, no, he's actually in the top rung now. So I think it would almost be pointless to say that he's the young player of the season. In my opinion, I think it's probably going to be Cheng Chin Lung. Of course, he only had half a season of full games, but he did really well with a few goals and mostly assists for Dreams. And then, look, you can't argue it. He was only on the pitch for 10 minutes for Kichi in the Champions League, but you can't argue with that kind of impact, scoring a wonder strike to get Hong Kong's first ever win in the AFC Champions League.
Yeah, making history.
Yeah, that's what it's about. I think it's going to be him for this award. I think less complicated is Coach of the Year.
Yeah, I think there we have a pretty good consensus, right?
I think it's got to be Yeung Ching Kwong.
Yeah, it should be.
When you look at the difference that he's made, like I say, they went from 8th. That was a season in which you had a very obvious bottom three of HKFC, BC Glory Sky and RNF. Pegasus were basically the bottom proper team. the other three for different reasons had struggles throughout the season, and Pegasus were the bottom after that. And to go from that to they're currently second. They've made two semi-finals, and they were the only team who gave Kichi any kind of room for their money in the league. I think it's got to be Yeung Chin Kwong.
Yeah, I agree. Of course, honorable mentions should go to Alex Chu, what he did with Kichi. I mean, there's no argument about that. And Lee Chi Kin, I think, again, showed that he really is among the top coaches in Hong Kong.
Yeah, Tai Po coach Lee Chi Kin, of course. And yeah, Alex Chu, he's gone the season unbeaten. Occasional moments of serious ambition from Kichi in the Champions League when they could muster it. You know, that was a tough situation for them to be in. And yeah, good season for him. Changing the subject slightly, our old friend YT Chan has been in touch.
Hi, YT.
Good to hear from you again. Wants to talk about the Hong Kong national team job. So we've already named a few options for who should take over long-term from the departed Kim Pangon. They were Lee Chi Kin, Alex Chu, that guy in Macau, whose name I can't remember.
Chen Hu Ming.
That's the guy.
He's taking over Lee Man.
Ah, oh, well, he's out the running. Okay, but YT has thrown a new name into the hat, that of Josep Gambao, the Spanish coach recently sacked by A-League side Western Sydney Wanderers. He was, of course, earlier Kichi coach and integral to the Spanish Revolution, which has made them what they are today, before leaving to coach Adelaide United in Australia. YT makes the argument that Gambo knows local football after his 5 years at Kichi, especially the politics and the horse trading that goes on with club owners to make players available for the national team. Also says that in stark contrast to Kim, the Spaniard has a real football philosophy, very much of the Catalan school, tiki-taka, etc., which he could instill in the HK national team given time. And similarly, he has a record at Barcelona and in Australia, where I believe he was the under-23s coach, of developing young players, which couldn't hurt with this long-term progression that we're all looking for from the Hong Kong national team. What do you think of this shout, Toby?
I think these are all very good arguments that YT is bringing up. I'm personally maybe a little bit more reserved about this option. Of course, on the one hand, you know, Gambao, he knows Hong Kong and he has been here several years. He has been very successful as well. But I would be worried if he could actually be here a long time and working successfully with the HKFA. Whitey mentioned that, you know, he might know the politics, but I think once you are on the head coach position of the national team, then these politics become more and more complicated. And what we've also seen, I think, in the last few years, in a lot of instances, where coaches have a very hard time here. And that said, what I think that Gombau is, that he is a person who is very straightforward, doesn't really care if he confronts anyone. And from my experience, it can often go wrong in this local context, particularly if an outsider is trying to take on the elite. Another thing that maybe comes to mind is that he has not been now hugely popular in Australia after his Adelaide stint, also among some of the players. I think at Kitchy he could work very well because he was basically surrounded by Spanish players at that time and a Spanish staff. I wonder how the communication would go if he would really have to deal with a more diverse crowd of players that come from different backgrounds, and if he could instill like this kind of Spanish philosophy, and if this would be even the right way. I'm still a bit skeptical about this. We've discussed about, you know, potential futures for the Hong Kong national team, which direction they should go. So we will see. I think he might be actually a candidate that the FA is considering. And if he gets a job, then fair enough. And he will get the chance.
Yeah, it's another name to consider. You know, there's a lot of people we've talked about now. So you've got Lee Chee Kin, Alex Chu, Josep Gombau. Out of those, who would you say is the most likely? Or are we just stabbing around in the dark here, and actually it's just going to be some Korean administrator that we've never heard of?
The search hasn't officially started at this very moment, so I think we will be in the dark for quite a while. And maybe, and do you even have like candidates that are currently the interim coaches or they're dealing with the B team in Hong Kong? So we will keep an eye on that, but I think it's quite an open race at the moment.
Okay, well, before we go, there are still some fixtures coming this weekend to take a look at. The first of these is Southern versus Kitchy, 2:30 kickoff on Saturday at Aberdeen Sports Ground on the beautiful south side of Hong Kong Island. This is the only match on Saturday. Kitchy are champions. They are looking to finish the season unbeaten, but I wouldn't bet against Southern, who have been a real bogey team for them in recent seasons. Kitchy have only taken 1 point off them in their side's last two league meetings at home earlier in the season. Kitchy had to come back from 2-0 down against the Aberdeeners to snatch a draw. They drew 1-1 in the Sapling Cup this season. 2 seasons ago, Southern knocked Kitchy out of both the Senior Shield and the FA Cup. That's a real pattern over the past 3 years of Southern having the better of Kitchy. They're coming off the back of 5 wins in a row. And their top scorer, Marcos de la Spada, former Kitchy player, of course, is having a great season. And he scored against his former side earlier this term. Am I hamming this up a little bit, Toby?
No, I think it's fair enough. And as you have mentioned, Kitchy are already champions. And I'm not sure if they are taking this opportunity to rotate the squad a little bit, to give players chances that haven't been much seen this season, which I think they should do. And at this point, I think with Kitchy having the title and not really interfering anymore in the race for example, second and third place, it's also a fair thing to do. Just maybe taking it a little bit less serious for the last two games.
But in my kind of view on this was that they will really want this unbeaten record. Surely that's a good thing to have. It's an achievement and it's history. It's the kind of thing that people might still be talking about in years' time if we still have a Premier League.
Oh, you think they're still unbeaten in a few years' time?
No, I mean, if they could get that record, it would be memorable, right?
Yeah, probably we are the only one going to remember this in a few years from now.
Maybe.
Yeah. But I do still remember, for example, Ted Hakim's record, right?
Yeah, he broke the record for minutes without conceding.
Yeah, in the Hong Kong Premier League.
In the historic Hong Kong Premier League. I think, well, there'll certainly be t-shirts that say like Invincibles and stuff. I mean, there's a bit of merchandising money to be made.
True, but in the end, it's already a bit stained with the Yuen Long loss in the Senior Shield, no? Like you're losing cup competition nonetheless. It's not that you're completely unbeaten. You're just, oh, in the league.
But that's not how it works. If you go, like Arsenal's Invincibles in the Premier League, they still lost Champions League games and but people still...
We're not talking Champions League, we're talking domestic cup
competition.
Yeah,
they didn't win the League Cup, they didn't win the FA Cup either, but they're still referred to as the Invincibles because they went a whole season unbeaten. Sorry, it's been a big week in English football. I had to mention Arsene Wenger at some point.
Who?
Southern will be without the suspended midfielder Carlos Martinez, who picked up his fifth booking last time out against RNF. So it sounds like you're leaning towards some kind of result for Southern.
Yes, I do.
I think it'll be a good game. I love going to games at the Aberdeen Sports Ground. And as anyone who goes there on a regular basis will know, Wong Chuk Hang has changed a lot over the past few years. And some of the food options there, Toby, they rival Hammer Hill Sports Ground for quality of food.
But I'm sure you cannot get like proper cart noodles there.
You can't get the world's most delicious cart noodles, yeah. No. But you can get some of the delicious like Japanese style noodles from this place. Right. I've forgotten what it's called. It's really big and they host Muay Thai boxing there as well.
So it's a proper hipster place, right?
It's way hip, yeah.
So it's not like Hammer Hill, which...
No, that's for the uncles really, more Hammer Hill.
Yeah, probably will get gentrified very soon as well, right?
Okay, anyway, if you are going, check it out or just go to Ocean Park, I don't know. 2:30 p.m. on Sunday, Taipo will play RNF at the Taipo Sports Ground. Taipo flying high after that win against Pegasus. They'll feel they can really go for second place now, surely. But they still need to win this one, probably, if they want to claim that second place spot.
Yeah, I think they should win this one and... chances should be quite good that they can do that. It was still a hard game, I remember. Their away game in Guangzhou. I think they scored very late to eventually win it. RNF are not an easy opponent, but still should be doable at this very moment.
5:30 p.m. on Sunday, Dreams FC will play Li Man at Chingy Sports Ground. Two newcomers to the league this season who've certainly had ups and downs in their maiden campaigns, I think it's fair to say. Dreams have lost their last 11 matches. There's no more interesting way of saying it. 11 defeats in a row. Not ideal. Li Man have lost 6 of their last 7. The only respite coming in that 3-3 draw with Taipo in the Sapling Cup. So something's got to give. One of these teams finally has to win a game.
What a draw.
Okay. Well, that would actually be a breakthrough for Dreams. A draw would be massive for Dreams. A point. So what will it be?
Wow, that's a tough call. But probably I would still go for Li Man in that case. Just because they actually always have been on the verge of winning in these last couple of weeks. So they certainly have the quality and then something seems to go wrong. Maybe Dreams is now the right opponent where they can carry the lead at least over the 90 minutes.
Yeah, fingers crossed that either of these teams can just get a win.
Or a draw.
Okay, on Tuesday, it's 1st of May, May Day Bank Holiday, so... the HKFA arranged a couple of games that day. 2:30 on Tuesday, Rangers will play Eastern at Champs Repos Sports Ground. A few changes afoot at Rangers, apparently.
Yeah, I think generally Chairman Philip Lee is not that pleased with this season. He had a very angry interview with Apple Daily in the recent days where he complained about some of the players. In particular, he mentioned one instance that seemed to have happened a few days ago before the game against RNF that would confirm relegation. Apparently only 9 players showed up for training at some point. And some have overslept or other ones have been away to watching football games in England. Like very, very strange situation. So eventually Philip Lee said that he cannot be blamed for the bad result of the season, but it's the player's fault. Another thing that also made the round via Apple Daily is an announcement that was posted in the Rangers training center. So they have like a building where also some of the players can live. And apparently it happened that a lot of female guests appeared there overnight. And so female guests were now banned from this residence, which I don't know had any effect on the remainder of the season.
Yeah, there is a sign. It says, notice, lodging in the clubhouse. Our clubhouse is a private sports center and the residence is mainly for the rest of players after training. Recently, we find that some strangers, especially females, entering our clubhouse and stay overnight. We strongly remind all athletes to take the above content seriously. And it introduces that new law that no women are supposed to stay, which seems a little draconian if that's where you live.
Right.
But fair enough. It is football team. He can do what he wants and he will do what he wants. Oh, I love Philip Lee. I imagine Eastern are going to win this game. Speaking of teams with nutty owners.
Right.
I imagine... yeah, Eastern are going to win this match.
Yeah, I agree. Provided that the players don't put up a protest on the field for how they were disrespected in the Player of the Year vote.
So you've got one set of players who now have to stay at the girlfriend's place. And then you've got another set of players who haven't been nominated at all for Player of the Season award.
So probably only Wong Soho is taking it seriously at that point.
Maybe they'll just all down tools. You just have 11 guys just stood there kind of chatting, making nice, having a little picnic in the pitch in protest. Maybe, I imagine not, but let's see what happens. Also on Tuesday, 5:30 p.m. at Yuen Long Stadium. Yuen Long will play Pegasus. It was 2-2 earlier in the season, this match. I think Yuen Long came back from 2-0 down, if I remember rightly. Pegasus need these points to ensure they keep that 2-point gap over Taipo going into the final game against the men in green. Will they get those points, Toby?
Of course, Pegasus are the favorites for this game, and I expect them to win. But at the end of the day, it's not an easy trip to Yuen Long. And I think they still remain quite unpredictable, despite all these developments and a very unsecure future. But just having the brilliantly named Everton Camargo in the squad, you know, all you need is like one good counter attack and you can cause damage. What do you think?
I agree with what you just said. Will Pegasus have Travis Major to call upon after that head wound that he picked up against Taipo? I imagine so. You don't normally see players missing games.
Yeah, and actually he still finished that game, right? He was not substituted. And I even think that he didn't get any stitches, right?
Wow. This has just drawn my attention to the fact that Taipo will, of course, be without Chak Ting Fung at the weekend. Other suspensions, to go back to that Kitchy game, Danny Cancella, who's picked up 5 yellows, so he's going to be suspended. Of course, Kim Dong-jin, who was sent off in their last game, will be almost certainly suspended for this match too.
So not many defenders left, right?
No.
If Raisio and Helio are not fit, then you have Bong.
Bong-jin.
Tung Kin Man. Lee Ngai-hoi, you can always count on.
Wow. I'm back in Southern.
All of a sudden.
You heard it here first, guys.
Okay. All of a sudden.
Okay, I think that's everything this week.
Yeah, that was enough, right?
Definitely. Okay, listeners, you have a good weekend. Have fun watching this round of Hong Kong Premier League fixtures. Hope your team wins. Until then, take care. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.